it's time now to turn our attention to the other side. We are joined here in the studio, as always, every other Tuesday by Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative. We're going to keep the conversation going about the closing down of Starbucks on May 29th for racial sensitivity and bias training following that incident not long ago in Philadelphia. Ashley, thanks for being with us here in the studio today.
Thank you. Good to be here, as always.
So continuing the conversation forward from the last one, what are your thoughts about what's going to happen on May 29th with Starbucks shutting down?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked about that, firstly, because that's really what I've been pondering the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have this incident that happened at Starbucks. I still feel like there's a lot of pertinent facts that we don't really know yet about that, like what happened to the manager ultimately. You know, she wasn't really fired, but she doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah, we're still kind of up in the air about that.
And, you know, that's fine because Starbucks can take care of its business internally. It's a private company, although it's handling this very publicly. And, of course, they're going to close down their shops on the 29th. So all of their employees, I think there's 200,000 mm-hmm. or so employees and 8,000 or so stores, are going to close down and have this training. And I don't really put a lot of stock in implicit bias training. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how successful this effort is really going to be. You know, I can say that in the past, I've taken implicit bias tests, and one result I can remember is this, I think this was about gender roles or roles between the sexes or something. I don't know how exactly it was phrased, and the results told me something like, you have a preference for traditional gender roles. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
And you walked in knowing that, yeah.
Right. So, you know, but larger than that, I mean, that's the implicit bias testing has been known to, the person can take it multiple times and get different results, so it doesn't have real reliability factor. Mm-hmm. And it also is problematic in that it's been shown not to predict behavior very well. Mm-hmm. So although a person could have, you know, we'll just take for granted that they have implicit bias, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to explicitly show their bias against someone else.
And but there's a difference, too, between testing and training, right? Like, the test is part of the training,
well,
isn't it?
Yeah. Right. That's very true.
Yeah.
I think that testing will probably be part of the training, but that's, that's just another thing I was wondering is if they're going to have this test, do they recognize the flaws with it, and do they acknowledge that putting all of their employees into mandatory training, you know, could actually backfire? Because again, they're a private company, and if they want all of their employees to do this type of training, the people who don't want to do it could quit. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody is forcing them to do this. They can quit if they don't want to, but I just think it's kind of disturbing in a way because it's not enough for Starbucks to just control the outward behavior of their employees. They want to do bias training, like they want to reshape their employees' minds. So to me, that's just a step too far, because what would matter to me if I was a Starbucks CEO is if all of my employees treated all of our customers equally, whether they thought of them equally or not is their own business.
Well, that's the issue, right? I mean, you've got the situation where, you know, these two people come into the store and they get the police called on them for just sort of sitting there waiting. And part of the reason why everyone else in the store was objecting was, well, I'm white. I walk in there and sit down, wait for a friend for 5-10 minutes on a regular basis, and no one ever comes up to me or asks me to prove my reason for being there, order something or anything like that. So it really is, I mean, it is about equal treatment.
Right.
Ultimately.
Well, I mean, we all know that people go into establishments and sort of abuse the Wi-Fi.
I do it all the time.
The
I mean, God, I do. I always order something, but then you know, I'll sit there on the Wi-Fi and use that. And then there are occasional times when I'll walk in. If I am like, if I'm meeting someone at a restaurant or something like that, I'll go in and sit down and wait. Maybe I'm 10 minutes early and they show up 10 minutes late. So I'm sitting there with a glass of water for 20 minutes and no one ever looks at me sideways.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I definitely leave room for the possibility of existing that the manager of this store called the police and wanted these two men removed from the establishment because she has, you know, some kind of racist bias. Mm-hmm. It's totally possible. But all that we have to go on so far, at least I haven't seen, you know, any tapes from the store or any sort of evidence about, you know, how long were they there before they called the police. I mean, we have what the men said was the timeline, but we haven't heard a whole lot from the manager, you know, if she'll be allowed to speak ever, I don't know, but, or what exactly the situation was like, because as the Philadelphia police chief described it, he said that, you know, everyone, as far as the store employees and the police, were acting professionally, and that the situation was handled in the way that he felt it should have been. So, you know, but still there's a lot of facts missing. I mean, I've also heard from, you know, just other sources that the manager of this store was very socially progressive. So it would have surprised a lot of people, her friends and people who knew her, that if she did this out of some racial animus. Well,
that's not a get out of jail free card either. I know a lot of socially progressive people.
Certainly
who
not.
Have their own biases, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, it could very well be.
It is an interesting point, though, and we're speaking with Ashley Campbell, by the way. We're talking about this, and we had the conversation with Anna Richards earlier from the NAACP, and you were kind of in our not soundproof but no speaker outside waiting area, so you didn't hear the conversation, but she was kind of saying a similar thing about the like immediate effectiveness of racial bias training, right? That you go through the training for, you go through a training session for one day for a couple of hours. Probably it's not going to have a big impact on you as an individual. I think the larger impact, and she was saying this too, is in the message that's being sent to the broader community, that this is something that we all need to just sort of think about, that this is behavior that we should think twice before we call the cops on this person when there's five other people who are doing the same thing that are not having the cops called on them. And it's something that we should just be more thoughtful about. Whether that's going to change people overnight in the course of a couple of hours of one training session, maybe not. But in contributing to the larger conversation that kind of moves the larger discussion forward nationally, that's where you're going to see the impact.
And I'm sure that's what the executives at Starbucks are betting on as well, because they lose a lot of money when they're shutting down all their stores.
Yeah.
And the last time they did this apparently was 2008 or 2009, during the sort of economic, the Great Recession. and that we had several years ago, and they were really struggling. They were just really struggling as a company.
Oh, they just shut down for a day.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Just to retrain, establish like totally new systems of.
Interesting.
It wasn't any kind of behavioral thing. It was just probably. You know, just the way they do business, morale building for their employees. And
but it's like a drastic step when you do something like
that.
Yes,
yeah.
And May 29th is the day after Memorial Day. I had the thought and I looked it up. So I don't know if that enters into their thinking at all.
I'm sure.
If it's like the long Memorial Day weekend and then the day after that. But
I mean, the last time they did this in 2008, it was their bet paid off because even though they lost $6 million worth of business, they're clearly successful.
They're fine now.
They're fine now, right? They bounce back. And so they are willing to risk the loss of millions and millions of dollars they think that this training will have an impact that would outweigh taking that same amount of money and putting it toward, you know, helping Black families in poverty or helping, you know, minority communities that face obstacles to, you know, a good education or, I don't know, insert cause here that, you know, may affect people in Philadelphia or anywhere else, you know, across the country with that amount of money, you could spread it around. So they think that this is about moving the conversation forward. It's part of this, like, raising awareness. I hear a lot about just, it's not about doing something, it's about raising awareness. And I guess I kind of think that doing something is usually better than just raising awareness. But because, you know, as you said, this kind of training on the individual level, unless the trainee is receptive to the message, I don't think that just one afternoon of training is going to do very much at all, because I've gone to racial equity training before myself and came away feeling that I came away feeling incredibly depressed because not in the way I was supposed to, because I was supposed to feel bad because I'm contributing to this all these systems of oppression. But it really, what I picked up from the instructors, is that no matter what choices an individual makes, there's always these systems of oppression that are going to hold someone back. Like, you could never move, you could never get educated enough. You know, if you're Black, you could never attain, you know, the same sort of privilege, to use that term, as a white person. And so, I mean, that's just one example, and how it's so airtight that there's really no hope. And so, in fact, I think one of the instructors said that at the rate that we're going, there won't be racial equity for 400 more years. So what's the point, really, in thinking about individual choices and only focused on outcomes? And so it was a little, off-putting to me. So I will say that even though, you know, what I feel like I'm designed to be the intended audience, like they're supposed to change my mind, it really didn't reshape my mind. So I think that it wouldn't necessarily.
We're coming on the end of the hour. We got to wrap up. But
sure.
Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.